and kindness. And it's true, I used to dwell amongst the criminal minded, but we wasn't really criminals, we were just blinded. Somebody came along and said that I was a diamond. That's when timber started looking within me, I would find it. Someone else came along and said that I was like gold, and that the burn of my life purified my soul. The system called me a convict, that's what I was told. But if you look a little deeper, you see that I was chosen. And brothers behind bars are really gods, and prostitutes and the drug addicts are really stars. My heart was frozen, but love thought it out to put a bomb in, and now my heart's exploding. Hip hop, human aquarium, that's humanity combined with my sign, that's Aquarius. They locked me up, come on, I forgave them. The brother who shot me, yeah, I forgave them. Come on, I forgave them when they killed the savior. Because I'm bigger than they sick behavior. If I'ma be a victim, let it be a victim of grace. If I'ma be destroyed, let it be love that I face. If I'ma be guilty, let it be guilty of being good. If I'ma be in prison, let it be inside of your heart. If I'ma be addicted, then I'm addicted to my passions. If I'm a criminal, my crime is compassion. If I'm hungry, I'm hungry for patience. Come on, if I'm starving, I'm starving of hatred. If I'm tired, then I'm tired of excuses. If I'm dwelling in the past, then I'm living in illusions. If I'm crying, it's for the women and babies who suffer every day from modern day slavery. This heart once frozen, but love thought it out and put a bomb in it. Now my heart's exploding. Hip hop, human aquarium, that's humanity combined with my sign, that's Aquarius. They raped the earth, come on, I forgave them. They enslaved my ancestors, I forgave them, y'all. I forgave them when they killed the savior. Come on, because I'm bigger than they sick behavior. Once frozen, but love thought it out and put a bomb in it. Now my heart's exploding. Hip hop, human aquarium, that's humanity combined with my sign, that's Aquarius. They raped the earth.
Yes, yes, yes. My name is Timber Spirit, a.k.a. the Bullet of Love. Welcome to the Timber Spirit Show. More importantly, welcome to the doorway of my heart, which is wide open for you right now. And I'm so grateful to be alive today so we can connect in the heart. That was my song, Human Aquarian. And that song, I decided to play that song today because I have a particular show set up for you today that's just very significant to that song. I want to do the lyrics for you so you really get where I'm coming from. It goes a little something like this. I refuse to become what timber despises. Instead, I put my attention on infinite kindness. And it's true, I used to dwell amongst the criminal minded. But we wasn't really criminals, yo, we was just blinded. Somebody came along and said that I was a diamond. That's when timber started looking within me, I would find it. Someone else came along and said that I was like gold, and that the burn of my life was purifying my soul. The system called me a convict, that's what I was told. But if you look a little deeper, you see that I was chosen. Them brothers behind bars are really God's children. Them prostitutes and them drug addicts are really stars building. My heart once was frozen, but love thought it out and put a bomb in it. Now my heart's exploding. Hip hop, human aquarian, that's humanity combined with my sign, it's Aquarius. They locked me up. I forgave them, the brothers who shot me. I forgave them. I forgave them when they killed the savior. Because I'm bigger than their sick behavior. If I'ma be a victim, let it be a victim of grace. If I'ma be destroyed, let it be love that I face. If I'ma be guilty, let it be guilty of being good. If I'ma be in prison, let it be inside of your heart. If I'ma be addicted, then I'm addicted to my passions. If I'm a criminal, my crime is compassion. If I'm hungry, I'm hungry for patience. If I'm starving, I'm starving of hatred. If I'm tired, then I'm tired of excuses. If I'm dwelling in the past, then I'm living in illusions. If I'm crying, it's for the women and babies who suffer every day from modern-day slavery. This heart once was frozen, but love thought it out and put a bomb in it. Now my heart's exploding. Hip hop, human aquarian, that's humanity combined with my sign, it's Aquarius. They raped the earth. I forgave them. They enslaved my ancestors. I forgave them, yo. I forgave them when they killed the savior. Because I'm bigger than their sick behavior. Yes, yes. My name is Timber Spirit. Welcome to my heart. Welcome to the Timber Spirit Show. We have a really, really special, an incredible show lined up today. Very significant to me. because I have a guest today that is doing out there doing the work. You know, he's doing the work. He's going into the places and that a lot of people shun, actually, and a lot of people judge, and a lot of people for whatever reason, not to judge them, but for whatever reason, they're not touched to move in these areas. My guest today is a dear friend of mine. He's someone who's inspired, who stays inspired. He's somebody in touch, who's in touch with love, in touch with spirit, in touch with his heart, in touch with service, in touch with serving those that people like myself who were once in gangs, people like myself who've been incarcerated, people like myself who felt judged by the world, people like myself who were labeled juvenile delinquents, and people like myself who were considered by society to be worthless. My guest today, Kit Cummings, is someone who lives Hebrews 13:3, which is to remember those who are in prison as if you were incarcerated with them. It's an honor today to bring my guest on today because it's just so important today that we highlight situations like this and get as much support as we can, whether or not that be prayer support, whether or not that be financial support, whether or not that be emotional support, whatever support we can get to situations like this to enable even greater work to take place is so significant. So without further ado, I want to bring on my dear friend, Kit Cummings, who's the president and founder of the Power of Peace Project. Today, I'm going to ask Kit to please tell us why he decided to initiate the Power of Peace Project and just to give us a little bit more on what that means, the Power of Peace Project and the work and what's going on, how the spirit has touched him. We're just going to let the spirit of love move today. I also, before you speak, Kit, I also want to say, you know, one of the things I really admire about the brother, too, is not only is he a man of prayer, a man of God, but he also respects all paths of love. You know, he respects all roads that lead to love, and that's something I'm really grateful for, to be talking to someone who loves Jesus in the way he does, but just loves people, period, regardless of where they're at in their walk, on the spiritual path or where they're not at. Without further ado, beloved brother, please speak to the people. Welcome.
Thank you, man. And you get me all excited. I was listening to that song, and I was, I got chill bumps, man. That's a great song. And you're a good friend, and I appreciate this time, this moment. And, you know, for those listening, we connected 5 years ago, and I got to see Timba perform live out in Long Beach, California, and we were both at the same conference, and it was Awakening the Dreamer, Changing the Dream Symposium, and I loved your music, I loved your energy, you have just a real gift, especially with young people, but it's so cool that after years of going our separate ways and doing what we did, we reconnected. I think it was through Facebook and a few different people, but we've connected, we've gotten to know each other really well, we've talked a lot, and we are very, very like-minded, kindred spirits, and in many ways, we're on the same path. And I respect your journey. I mean, for those that know you, brother, you're just a man. You are love, man. You're helping a lot of people. Your energy, I know you've helped me. And thank you. It's an honor to be on this show. I've it's amazing this journey that started a number of years ago. And to tell you the truth, I mean, it really did start. I went out to the West Coast and I was trying to find myself again. And I had been a preacher for a long time. And then I had gotten out of that just through spiritual burnout and had gone out into the corporate world. And then I'd found my voice again and developed a motivational speaking enterprise and began writing a book. And, you know, just some different things were happening. And someone that I met invited me to serve on a prison ministry team. And I'd never been in a prison. I'd worked with a couple of incarcerated individuals, and I had developed a softness in my heart for people who have found themselves in that place. And I mean, I walked into a prison, and this was in 2009, and it was Georgia's really most violent, dangerous maximum security prison, number one gang prison in Georgia. And Georgia is one of the, you know, toughest prison states. And I didn't know any better. I just walked in and started to serve, and I connected with the men in white. And I began to go back and go back and go back, and I just felt drawn there. And Timba, I can't really fully explain how that happened other than it was destiny, but I got connected to those men in there. And I ended up quitting two jobs over it, getting fired from another, and developing three organizations from it. I mean, that's how much that work has changed my life. It led to several books, a movie that we're starting to work on, a nonprofit, as well as a TV network. I mean, so many things have led from that first connection with those men and that live inside of this maximum security prison. And we tried an experiment, January the 18th, 2011, significant turning point in my life. And it was right after Martin Luther King's 25th anniversary of MLK Day. I tried an experiment, and 12 young men doing life sentences, a lot of them gang affiliated, they signed a peace pledge in honor of Dr. King, and they set out on seven bold steps in a place where they were living, where violence is the norm. There's been, just to give listeners an idea, this prison had four murders in 6 weeks, about a year ago. I mean, it's a very, very tough prison in any prison. I mean, that's a big deal when people are dying. And these men set out to be peacemakers in a place where they had been told and believed the lie and started, they've been living the convict code, which is there's certain things about respect and about retaliation and about, you know, I mean, your language and your look and your posture and your energy. And there's all these quote unquote rules that are illusion that men have bought into, obviously, in dangerous places like that. And our kids on the street are learning the convict code on the street in their neighborhoods. And so these men, they stood up and they took a stand in honor of Dr. King. And what happened after that was historic. Peace broke out in that prison, and we developed a peace council. We began to meet with the gang leaders and the spiritual leaders, Muslim leaders, Christian leaders, gang leaders at a round table weekly, and we began to discuss real issues and talk about what peace would look like, and using their influence to call different shots and to start to be role models. And a program emerged from it, which we call the Antivirus. And Antivirus is kind of, if you think about, if anybody's gotten a flu shot, what do they give you? They give you a little shot of the flu. If anybody gets bitten by a snake, they give you a little bit of the venom. And the body responds by learning how to overcome the virus by building antibodies and all the things. So we began to work with the inmates and saying, well, if judges and police officers and teachers and preachers and more time and longer sentences and the death penalty and all these things that we've tried to solve crime hasn't worked, what if we call the prisoners? What if we call the convicts, the criminals, to be the answer to crime? What if from behind the prison walls across America and beyond, inmates began to change and become role models before they ever get out? And what if kids started watching and paying attention to their behavior? And what if they began to imitate men like Dr. King and Mr. Gandhi and Mr. Mandela and Jesus of Nazareth? And we started to, you know, I wrote a book around it, and these men signed this pledge, and we made rubber wristbands that said, I am the power of peace. And these leaders, these powerful gang leaders, began to walk around that camp and talk about peace, and we gave them a voice. And that institution went through a period of unparalleled peace and won Institution of the Year in the state of Georgia, which they had never done in 23 years. And then we were off and running, and I was getting, you know, called and requested and interviewed and traveling and speaking about this thing that had become my great life's work. And, you know, I wrote another book and another book, and it's taken me to prisons in South Africa and prisons down deep into the heart of Mexico. And I just got back from a Ukrainian prison tour over in Eastern Europe, and it looks like we're going to Honduras this fall. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but I think I'll take a breath.
That's beautiful. You know, listen, I'm just sitting, sucking it all in and really being grateful. And then also at the same time, my memory is recalling my own personal experience behind those walls. You know, in 2002, you know, I ended up in Rikers Island and, you know, actually doing some of the exact same things that you just mentioned. You know, like I got touched. I got touched. I was in the prison yard, and I remember just being loved my love itself. I remember being the love of the universal mother, which is something that I had been introduced to before I got locked up. And I remember this consciousness, this principle called undying, endless compassion. And it smothered me, man, in that prison yard, man. And I went back upstairs and I just started hugging the man and telling them, you know, I went to the hardest, you know, I wasn't in there for murdering anybody. I was in there for actually petty crimes. But for some reason, kid, I was in there with people, you know, with brothers that I could very much identify with because I came up on the streets. But just I was in there with, you know, just the hardest guys. And, you know, I just would look, after I had that experience on that prison yard, man, I just wanted all the men to know that they were loved no matter what. I just wanted to saturate them with the love that I had experienced and the love of endless compassion. I just went up, I went back into the dorm, man, and I just started hugging as many guys and embracing, you know, the guys who I knew had taken bodies and taken people's lives. And, man, people, my passion became every day I woke up, kid, every day I woke up, my passion was to just simply tell the guys that they were loved. Like, if they were Christians, I said, God bless you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do to change it. If they were Muslims, yeah, I said, Allah loves you, and there's nothing you can do to change it. If they were whatever path they were into, I didn't care. I just wanted them to know that they were loved, and God, they started crying. And you know, teardrops started falling on my shoulders, and when you know, so my passion began to wake up each morning and just make the hardest so-called criminal convict and thug cry, because I knew if I could make them cry, if I could say something to them to unlock that teardrop within them and that teardrop experience, that they would touch their own hearts, that they would tap their own hearts. And for me, that was the spirit of God actually moving through them. That was my evidence that God had resurrected, God's power had resurrected within them. I did that for the remainder of the time I was in there, and I got out and I vowed to the guys that I would keep visiting them. And I did that for years later afterwards, and now the program, I was able to start through getting back through the MA Center, through my spiritual teacher, Amma. It's all over the planet right now. So I have a specific admiration. You know, this is historical. Every moment that stuff, something like this happens, because, you know, it's historical. You know, I feel so, wow, I never would have thought being in that prison cell that I would be on a phone call one day, you know, with a radio show talking to another brother who's never been behind the walls but whose heart just got moved so extraordinarily that now we're in partnership to try to get this message out as best we can, the power of peace
project. I'm finding men like you that are there, and some of them don't even know it yet. And what you just expressed, and I hope everybody heard, man, that you were in that place where people say you got to be a certain way and you got to go hard and you got to have a reputation and all these things that people have bought into and our young people are watching and modeling. And yet I'm finding guys that have the potential that you just expressed that is ready just to explode. And it's really, really cool. We've just gotten done with a tour through Illinois Department of Corrections and then Michigan Department of Corrections. And then we just got back from Florida did a number of shows in Florida 2 weeks ago. We're going back to Michigan next week. But it's called the Hope is the New Dope Tour. And so we do a little hip-hop rap. And in Florida, it was a rock and roll show. But anyway, in the middle of it is this spiritual message. And we tell them, this is hundreds and hundreds of convicts in a prison yard or a chapel or a gym or wherever they set us up. We are looking for treasures buried in this field. And you might think that nobody's looking at you as a role model, but we're coming in here looking for men that want to be a role model for their kids, for their cousins, for their sons, for their brothers, for their families, and people have told you that you'll never amount to anything, or you've done too much, or you've fallen too far. And we're saying that you are the answer. It's not just that you ought to be better men. We're saying, please be the solution. And we're calling them to do something great. And the amazing thing is men hear that call. And imagine this, Tim, but I want you to experience it. I can't wait till we come up there and you go with us. And We close the show, and I tell everybody, I say, I'm going to get on my knees. And if you will join me, I said, if you're not ready to humble yourself, don't get on your knees. But if you want to join me, I want to invite you to get on your knees, because a certain book tells me that if we'll humble ourselves and pray to him, that he'll turn to us and he'll heal the land. And today we're going to start a healing on this land. And this is a maximum security prison. And we've been called there because there's gang violence. There are gang leaders in the room with their crews. And we're asking them to do something unthinkable. Everybody get on your knees together right now. And we're going to start to pray for healing. And then I say, as you're moved, I want you to take a stand if you want to be a peacemaker. And I don't open my eyes. It's a really cool moment because I pray and then I stand and then I can't wait to open my eyes and see if there's one guy, two guys, three guys, whatever. And I'm telling you, a whole gym filled with people and wardens are blown away because they're like, you have no idea who was in that room. And the rivals, we almost didn't let them get in the same room. And now they've stood together as peacemakers. And then we go back and we do our program. And the way it works is, we do 2 days of training and we study Gandhi and King and Mandela. And we study these nonviolent principles that are universal laws and principles. And we reason with them and we get them to imagine things and we try to get them to find some hope. Hope is the new dope. And do you believe that it's possible? I'm not asking you to make a commitment. Do you believe it's possible for a man to change? Do you believe it's possible that you could be a father, a good father, a role model? You know, a good husband, what's your dream? 2 days, we saturate them, and then we call them to action, and they sign the peace pledge. We give them a journal, and this journal contains 13 days of Gandhi, 13 days of Mandela, 13 days of King, and it's 40 days. And every day, there's a quote, an action step, and a journaling program. We get them to write a 2-page paper. Now, these are men that some of them, you know, I say, if you have a hard time reading and writing, get a friend. You know, if you haven't done something like this, get a buddy, you know what I mean? And so for 40 days, these guys set out to be peacemakers. And the 7 steps are radical in that place. 1, look for peace, be a peacemaker everywhere you go. 2, don't disrespect anybody. Treat everybody with respect for 40 days. 3, when you're disrespected, don't retaliate. Look for a solution. 4, when you're cursed, you can't curse back. Now, they're laughing at me when we first throw this out there. 5, you can't lie, cheat, or steal for 40 days. These are the things that bring conflict and violence and retaliation. So decide you're going to clean up your side of the street. 6, when you're wrong, promptly admit it, quickly make amends. It's a program of progress, not perfection. 7, treat everybody with the respect you wish to be treated with. So they sign the peace pledge. They get a black rubber wristband that says, I am the power of peace. And they publicly walk around and people know that, hey, man, there's one of those peacemakers. And then we provide DVDs, which are small group discussions. And once a week for 6 weeks, the warden brings together all these leaders. Now, these are leaders that have been chosen for this program, positive and negative. And so you've got, I usually don't say it, in the prisons, you got to be kind of careful. But I'm telling you, it's Bloods, Crips, Gangster Disciples, Aryan Brotherhood, Muslims, Christians. You know, you've got warring factions that for 40 days are saying, hey, we're going to try a different way. They come together once a week over that 6 weeks, and they watch a DVD, which is something that we've produced for them. It spurs them to action, discussion, and then they carry on. But the culmination of it after 40 days is we come back to that prison, and we do what we call a 41st day celebration. And we have a concert for them. We have the warden agree to provide some sort of special food, like even if it's really nice hot dogs, you know, I mean, a lot of you wouldn't believe, oh, you would, but listeners might not know what they have to eat a lot of times. And we have an open mic night, I mean, where they get up and they talk about, man, this is where I started. Here's where I am today. This was my greatest victory. This is my epiphany, whatever. And we applaud, celebrate, and they graduate, and we give them a certificate. And a lot of them have never really completed anything in their lives. And they feel so proud, man. And they tell their families, man, I completed the 40 days of peace. I'm a peacemaker. And we call them to be role models. And then we promise them that we're now going to be their voice. And we go out around the country and we talk about the men at Rikers or the men at San Quentin or the men down in Texas at Jester 3 or the, you know, and say, hey, we've found the antivirus and here's role models that you wouldn't expect. And it's giving them purpose that they desperately need. And now we're going into alternative high schools and inner city schools, and we're doing 40 days of peace with students. And we get to tell the story of their big brothers and fathers and uncles or people that they've heard about that used to be violent men that now are peacemakers. And I'm telling you, it's magic. I mean, it's become the great work of our lives. And then corporate America has invited me to come tell them about it and to start to teach management principles and sales strategies. And the crazy thing about it is I'm sitting here telling corporate suits that they need to follow the example of these convicts that have turned their lives around. So, and it's just like God. It's so upside down. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that's man. That's wow. Again, I'm absorbed in everything you're saying. You know, I also want to say, you know, to be responsible to the listening audience. You know, everybody's saying, you know, kind of we all have this thing in our minds about people that have gone through the, you know, the hard knocks, the school of the hard knocks, and incarceration, and you know, we have these labels, convict and criminals. You know, but the bottom line is, what's happening is people are just, these men are just returning to who they really are.
That's
see, the facade then was this hardcore thug. That was the facade. That was the illusional them. What's happening?
Right.
The reason the change is so profound because within all people, there's a longing to know love, to experience your own goodness, to experience why you were born, to you know your purpose, which is to bring good into this world. So it's not like convicts are transforming into something good. These people that were labeled prisoners and convicts who began to believe this lie themselves are returning to who they really are. And this is the reason that's so important to get that out, because the bottom line is, hey, which one of us in this world hasn't put on a disguise or facade? Or, you know, we all wear these. Even Kit just mentioned, you know, people in corporate America. I mean, they put on business suits. They got their disguises that they wear too. You know, they have their, you know, all their titles and, you know, these stereotypes that, you know, people incarcerated pre-impose on them. So it's like, you know, but to see, you know, us be placed on the same playing field is what really turns my spirit on, because that's when the true healing takes place. That's when the Martin Luther King and the Gandhi and the Mandela and the Harriet Tubman, that's when that message rings true, when all of those titles and labels are just dismantled and we're just down to being God's children again. We're just down to be, you know, to the simple common denominator of our humanity, which is love, you know, which is what we all want to experience, love, goodness,
absolutely,
life, purpose, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You talked about hope being a new dope. Well, I'm here
you
to
like
tell
that.
Y'all, my name is Timber Means.
You had to write a song around that one, bro.
Yeah, my name, Timber Means, hope, and it's actually from Nelson Mandela's tribe. It's Zulu, and it means hope. So Timber is the new dope, I take it. I'll accept,
Timber is
I'll
the
accept
new dope.
I want my hope is new dope.
I want to make sure and agree with you on is, I mean you're a wonderful example of a guy that was just happened to be on this journey that took him through there, but who you are is who you are. And I lost who I was along the way, and I was a preacher. And then I came out on the other side, and I was so confused and disillusioned and really got into a place where I was bitter. And I'd been teaching people about, you know, spiritual things and kind of seen as the expert on it. And I was lost. I did not know who I was. And it took men that were incarcerated that came into my journey and I was behind theirs to help me to break free and to learn who I really was. And it was their love and it was their courage and then their honor, which moved me. And now that I've gotten into this work and gotten so deep into it, I had no idea who these men and women, now we start doing women's prisons and youth prisons and, like I said, alternative high schools. We're all just humans, and we're all, there's no perpetrator and victim. On some level, we're all victims, and on some level, we're all perpetrators. And there's two sides of people, the ones that got caught and the ones that didn't. I mean, all of us have done things that we wish we hadn't have done. All of us, if to the strict letter of the law, are guilty, then it's just a matter of degree. And I started, you know, one of the principles I live by is you find what you look for. So if you pay careful attention to what you want to find in the world, you will start seeing, you know, what you want to see. And I see beauty behind those walls. And for those that are listening that have been touched by violent crime, which, you know, my heart goes out to true victims of violent crime. I do not discount the mistakes that have been made by some of the men that you know, we've all done things, but we work with some of the men that have done the worst things. We go into death row and in Alabama and Louisiana, and we're starting to go to really work with and try to be there for the ones that have made the worst decisions. And my heart goes out to their victims and their families, because, I mean, nobody understands that kind of pain. And so I don't want anybody to be thinking, man, you don't even understand what they've done. You're right. I mean, I can't understand on some level, but I do know that we want less victims in the future. And that's why we try to help men and women that are in there now to really do good time and to learn to heal and to learn to love and to learn to forgive themselves and value themselves.
And let me compliment that, beloved brother Kitten, to
yes,
say,
please. Yes, please.
Because that's a very, very, very urgent and important point to allow people to really feel safe with what we have to say about it, that we're honoring their journey and what they've gone through and how they've been, you know, experienced maybe being victimized. You know, but here's the piece, and this is why this conversation is so important and this work is so important, because consider that statistically they say 90% of people that are behind bars will return home one day. So if we keep just going with the status quo, those people that they're talking about are going to come home. You know, there's also statistics to say, which is Kit and what he's doing with the Power Priest Project, is, of course, turning those statistics around. But we don't want to over-romanticize the thing. The bottom line is there's still, you know, people that are coming home from incarceration with greater psychiatric conditions because of, you know, what they're being subjected to when they get locked up. And, you know, so it's like, and they're ticked off at society. So the Power of Priest Project is, and other projects like it is so significant, because to the listening audience, understand that, you know, just as we want to have compassion for people that have been victimized through violent crimes, we also want to understand that there's a solution to preventing the perpetuation of those violent crimes in the future. And this is what peace is the solution. Let's face it, inner peace. So this is, we have to, a lot of people ask, how can I support? What can I do? You know, I have so many conversations with people. When I built the home for the orphan family and on the Pine Ridge Reservation, every project that I've had, people always say, you know, I've always had a concern for that, but I just didn't know what to do. Well, kid, I would like, and then we're going to go into break, into another song, but if you could be so kind to tell the listener how they can support the Power of Peace Project, I mean, in very tangible ways and spiritual ways, and what type of support do you need to help this great project and this movement to just expand in ways of goodness, so we can keep, you know, putting a great dent in the statistics? Please share with the listener that.
Absolutely. And you're right, 90%+ of people incarcerated are going home, and statistics, unfortunately, are about almost 70% are going to reoffend within 3 years and go back. And so it's a system that's broken and it's not working. And so what can we do? First of all, just find out who we are, and what we do is go visit www.thepowerofpeace.org. So it's very easy, thepowerofpeace.org. And there you'll find out that we have programs, our Inspired Straight program that we do in schools, the antivirus, you know, that we take into a lot of different areas. Catalyst TV, we've started a little TV network where we go and we broadcast people like you. I mean, we'd love to come to Portland and see you and feature Themba Spirit on Catalyst TV, because we feature people that are making a change and impact in the world, and we broadcast it. It's a internet-based network of good news right now, until we choose to go, you know, go bigger or cable or whatever we do. You can give financially. It's a 501c3. So, you're involved in that world. We can't have too many partners, sponsors, donors. We're looking for great corporate sponsors where we do our attitude science work. And we take a lot of these principles into the workplace. And we also work with foundations, with churches. We have a program called 40 Days of Prayer, which is a spiritual breakthrough workshop that we do with churches. And really what we want to do is heal communities by connecting prison, schools, and churches. because the church is there to be a spiritual foundation. The school is there to prepare our kids. And the prison, unfortunately, is where a lot of people are ending up, and it's a revolving circle. And so we go and work with churches to prepare them to welcome the inmates when they come home, if they want to have a spiritual family and not to fear and to develop programs. We go to the schools and try to help them to interrupt and redirect dangerous, risky behavior and be inspired straight. And we go to the prisons and we try to help men and women there to really experience the healing and transformation so that when they get out, they'll stay out, go back to their communities and be the fathers and mothers and role models that they should be. So really, what can you do? Go to our website. If God moves your heart to give, please give, and give as much as your heart wants to give. And then we go wherever we're invited. So whether it's corporate, schools, churches, prisons, invite us. We'll come to your town, and you know, we'll do what we can to bring peace and hope and love to places that need it.
Man, what an honor it is today to have my beloved brother, dear friend, man of God, Kid Cummins today, founder and president of the Power of Peace Project. And man, this is a wonderful, wonderful day to live in, where you know we're connecting and with people that are living in the solution. So there's so much, you know, things being advertised out there. You know, so much airplay is being given to the other side, the other stuff. We all know that very well. But I tell you, listeners, after today's show, we have no excuse to know that there are things. I want you to talk about this to people. Let people know about the Power of Peace Project. Go to, you know, this is on my on the profile page. The website link is there. You know, there's plenty of things we can do to help out, as Kit just told us. On that note, Doug, if you could be so kind to put on my song Courage, because it is so significant. It takes a lot of courage to dive into this world. I have great admiration for my beloved brother, Kid Cummins, today, and all those men and women out there doing the work. Doug, please throw on Courage, and we'll take a little break.
Most people ain't afraid of me. They're scared to embrace what they was born to be. To be yourself, it takes courage. To follow your heart and go within, my friend, it takes courage. Most people ain't afraid of you. They're scared to embrace what they was born to do. To be real, it takes courage. To follow your bliss and go within, my friend, it takes courage. I've never been afraid to go against the grain. My teacher is my life, was taught by the pain. And life told me that fear is a disease. And my courage gave birth to my visions and my dreams. I'm grateful to the pain through my mama's womb. I came in the month of February. Timber is the name that she gave. Fox said that the world is hopeless. But timber means hope. And as long as I'm alive, there's a little in this world. And that's why I wrote this. So please, MCs, let's keep the focus. And the greatest enemy is enemy, not you. That's why they call it enemy. Don't you believe that's true? It's in my hope that you do. Cause only fearless women and men look within and conquer themselves again and again, like Timber did. And I'm talking to my friends, I believe that's you. Most people ain't afraid of me. It's scared to embrace what they was born to be. Really takes courage. To follow your heart and go within, my friend, it takes courage. Most people ain't afraid of you. It's scared to embrace what they was born to do. Yourself, it takes courage. Follow your bliss and go within, my friend, it takes courage, yeah. I don't need an award to thank God, cause every time I breathe, I'm embraced in his arms. I thank him every day, I'm not afraid to respond to the only one who's ever really loved me, the only one who's ever really hugged me. To the only one who's ever really known me. Who was it who came into that prison when I was lonely? Some call it God, I call him the one and only. I'm a child of courage, refuse to be funny. And please don't get it twisted. Don't misinterpret the essence of the message like they did with the scriptures. I'm not afraid to go to hell, cause guess what? Even if I'm dead, God's love will be there. And how I bring heaven down, I see his will being done through the eyes of a child and a smile. I even see it done through a frown, teaching me how precious life is right now. Come on, most people ain't afraid of me. They're scared to embrace what they was born to be. Be yourself, it takes courage. To follow your heart and go within, my friend, it takes courage. Most people ain't afraid of you. It's scared to embrace what they was born to do. But it really takes courage to follow your bliss and go within, my friend. It takes courage. Most people ain't afraid of me. They're scared to embrace what they was born to be. To be yourself, it takes courage to follow your heart and go within, my friend. It takes courage. Most people ain't afraid of you. They're scared to embrace what they was born to do. It really takes courage to follow your bliss and go within, my friend. It takes courage, yeah.
Stand to the Timber Spirit Show, a.k.a. the Bullet of Love. And, you know, I call myself the Bullet of Love because I forgave the person who tried to murder me when I was still yet a gangbanger. You know, love moved through me. I just didn't want to see anybody else killed in my neighborhood. You know, it took courage to follow my heart, to follow your heart and go with them, my friend. It takes courage. That's just real. You know, I want to say something before I go back into my beloved brother. I'll just let him take us out. But, you know, I want to say something in around Jesus Christ, the beautiful movement of Christianity, and where the prison system is concerned, and men and women incarcerated. You know, when I used to get locked up, the one thing that I had access to was the Bible. And that, I tell you, like, I came to really, to go into the Bible myself was a whole different experience. To have that time in that prison cell, to be able to just read it myself was an entirely different experience than just listen to, you know, the preacher or the minister on the pulpit. And I came, when I started looking through the scriptures and I was able to sift through the dogma and I was able to go through the core essence message of it, you know what? I came out with something very beautiful. And, you know, there's a scripture that Mother Teresa, you know, that she used to quote all the time. You know, she said that, you know, that I was homeless and you visited me, and I was in prison and I was in the hospital and you visited me. And Jesus was like, I mean, the people that were Jesus was talking to were like, when did we do this to you, Lord? When did we visit you? And when did we, you know, when did we go to prison? And when did we, he said, to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it to, you did it to me. So it's one, there's something really sweet about the way Jesus positioned himself where people incarcerated were concerned, to the point where a lot of people don't even realize, you know, if you believe in this, that, you know, when he was crucified, he was crucified with two people that were incarcerated. So I tell people, you know, because I have a variety of listeners and friends, and I'm a universal being. My religion is love. My religion isn't Christianity, but yet it is. My religion isn't Islam, but yet it is. My religion isn't Buddhism, but yet it is, because I believe in the principles in which one of them stand. But I tell you, just to be in alignment with this particular show today, were it not for Jesus and the Bible, the prison system today would pretty much be void of spirituality. And maybe some of my listeners who might be saying, oh, you know, they talked about Jesus, you know, they talked about the Bible, they mentioned the word God a lot today. Maybe that might help you heal from some of your religious or God issues, to understand that it's because of the teachers of Jesus Christ that some of those men are coming home not pissed off at you, that some of those men are coming home looking at you and saying, you know, I just want to serve and give my heart to this person today and not mug or rob them. So I just want you to understand that, you know, my experience with Jesus Christ is the experience of love. The two greatest commandments, when they asked Christ what the two greatest commandments were, he said to love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he said, on these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. So we just stay in the confines of love. We're cool. So I just wanted to just clear that up for people who might hear us talking. You know, some of, you know, like I said, I got friends of all walks of life. Understand, I am not by any means like a religious-minded person. I'm not dogmatic at all. As my song, Humanitarian, said, I'm an Aquarius. You know, it's like I'm a humanitarian at heart. I love people. But understand, I got my heart, I love me some Jesus. I'm not afraid to say it. I love me some Jesus because when I was behind bars, them praying men who loved them some Jesus kept me whole. It wasn't a whole bunch of yoga mats in there. It wasn't a whole bunch of, you know, Tibetan Book of the Dead and stuff like that. It was a Bible and some praying men of God who were telling me that they believed in me and, you know, so forth and so on. So I'm a universal, but, you know, at the same time, I had my picture of the Divine Mother on my locker, and, you know, a couple of men thought I was crazy because, you know, I was meditating and sitting in a lotus position and all this type of stuff. But I love me some Jesus, because were it not for Jesus, the prison system right now would be void of spirituality. I just want to share that with the listeners out there so, you know, you can just know the real deal and what's going on with Jesus. Jesus is hardcore. Jesus loves, matter of fact, Jesus himself was considered a convict, was considered, he was on death row, you know, so yep. It's like, it makes total sense that people behind bars would really relate to the brothers. So I'm saying it to say to the people that might be a little pissed off, or a little have some issues with God, Jesus, the Bible, etc., understand that there's a powerful move of love happening behind the wall that has nothing to do with the religious dogma that you see happening in this world. There's a whole other thing going on up in there. I've been there. It's all about love. It's changing and transforming lives. And even if you don't follow it, you have no choice but to respect it. I just wanted to say that before I reintroduce my beloved brother, dear friend, and man of God, man of love, Kit Cummings. And Kit, you know, you got like, man, seven, eight minutes just to share with people, you know, what you would most like them to know about what you're up to or you know, whatever you want to share from your heart yeah. you think is most significant, you can take us out.
Sounds good. And that was great. Thank you, man. Thank you for this whole hour. It's been awesome. But, yeah, I mean, I think I will close out just with an amazing thing that's happened here over the last year. Of course, we started in the prisons, and then when we saw what was happening in there, and we started to travel and go to other prisons, then we naturally backed up into the schools and decided to try to look at prevention. And then we went into the communities and began to speak to, you know, men of faith, different religions. Would you support this work? And so we connected that. But we really needed a place of our own, and we started thinking about, man, where could we really have a base of operations? Because I was just on the road a lot, and I had a great brother that's come on board. His name's Gary Burke. He, too, is formerly incarcerated, and he was a drug kingpin in the 90s. And then he went and did his time, and like you, he was transformed in there and got out and wanted to make a difference. And he went, and he's become really one of my all-time best friends and a partner in this journey. But he's walked a mile in the men's shoes, and he goes in with me. And as a convicted felon, they look at him, and there's instant credibility for a lot of them that don't know if they can trust, you know, the guy who hasn't really been there. So that's been powerful. And then another gentleman joined our team, and Melvin Williams, who brought Catalyst TV and brought a couple partners in with the NFL. That have amazing stories of coming off the streets and out of tough neighborhoods into the league. And we developed this this dream to broadcast this message to the world. And Melvin has become a great friend and a partner. So Gary and Melvin and I, you know, have really began to build this thing. And it's a great team. But we were looking for a place. And there's a neighborhood in Atlanta called Lakewood. And Atlanta, people who've been to Atlanta know that it's got, you know, it's a big city, obviously has crime is an issue. It's always up there in lists that you don't want to be at the top of and in that world. But there's an area down south of the city that's called Lakewood, and the FBI listed it top 10 most dangerous neighborhoods in the country about 3 months ago. So it got national headlines because it's an impoverished area. It's a poor area. But it's a beautiful area. And there's a church building sitting down in the middle of this area called Lakewood in this neighborhood that nobody wanted. It's been sitting empty for 10 years. And those that could afford it didn't want it because of where it sat. Those that did want it couldn't afford it. And so it sat there unoccupied for the last decade or so. And United Methodist Church was trying to sell it. And a friend of ours, Cal Wembley, who has become kind of the fourth member of our team, he started looking at it, and he's been praying and dreaming about this building because it sits in this historic neighborhood with so much need. And that scripture you brought up, when I was hungry, when I was thirsty, when I was sick, when I was a stranger, when I was naked, when I was in prison, you came to visit me. This area of Lakewood has all of those elements in it in one place. You know, the hungry, the thirsty, the sick, the naked, the stranger, the prisoner. It's the number one incarceration zip code in the state of Georgia, is this little neighborhood. And this building just sat there. We began to look at it, and our friend Cal began to really look into, you know, what would it take to get it. And I'll just say over the last few months, I mean, everything fell into place, and we purchased that spot. And it's 12,000 square feet. It's a building that needs a lot of love, and it sits right in the crossroads of this community with so much need. And we, the Power of Peace Project, has now got a base of operations, and we're loving that neighborhood, and we're engaging young people. We're doing a big mural project to beautify some of the walls. You know, we're restoring the building. We're going to devote the sanctuary into a historic monument to the nonviolent movement. We're going to have stations of peace. We have a Whole Foods garden right there in the hood where we're growing food, and we even want to do some beekeeping and some great. I mean, it's beautiful in its raw potential, and it's a community that's coming alive. We're having services down there. We're having classes during the evening. We're starting to develop youth programs out of that space. And the latest thing, and I'll kind of leave you with this just to give you a vision, is these beautiful kids in this neighborhood, you know, most of them.
Hey, kid, let me just, I'm sorry for interrupting you.
No,
let me
no
just
problem.
Say that I've just been told that you don't, you know, unless you have schedules or whatever, you don't have to rush and because there's no show directly after this. So I was just told through Doug that we don't have to rush. Like, we don't have to be done at exactly 3 o'clock. So please, you know, just flow and then we'll end when we're supposed to end.
Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah, you just tell me when, man. And so, you know, I get rolling. You just got to butt in when I think about
it. Me and you both.
I'm excited about this. But anyway, so we developed this program that we're getting ready to start where we're going to take inner city kids, you know, that they're beautiful. Many of them haven't ever been out of the neighborhood. And many of them, you know, in impoverished situations have been through abandonment or neglect, and some of them abuse. And, you know, what's normal for them in this neighborhood is not normal for a lot of kids in the suburbs or in some of the wealthier areas. And so we found a beauty. This will appeal to you because of your universal love of nature and Mother Nature and all that. We found this spot north of Atlanta, and it's called 12 Stone Farms. And it's a beautiful 100-acre, just picturesque little piece of heaven on earth. And it's an equestrian farm. And so we're starting a program. We're going to take kids that from this inner city, and we're going to take them up for, you know, weekend events and eventually week-long camps, where we teach them about nature. And we've got a kind of a horse whisperer that I'm meeting with tomorrow that's going to use horses that they usually use this to help autistic children. Start working with some of these inner city kids that, you know, some of them are suffering from post-traumatic stress or the effects of neglect and abuse, and, you know, and just they've never seen how beautiful nature is or connected with the God of, you know, this beautiful universal, you know, presence and source. And certainly not powerful, beautiful horses, you know. And so this is brand new, fresh in, and we're so excited about it. But we're trying anything and everything. It's not just a prison ministry program or another inner city school program. We're really just welcoming partnerships, collaborations, you know, people like you, Temba, that care about bringing transformation and healing to this planet. And especially, you know, the whole world went to sleep last night, you know, with a heavy heart because of this Trayvon Martin situation. Doesn't matter which side you're on, whether it's, man, he did it, he didn't do it, you know, it's a white-black thing or Hispanic thing or whatever it is. It's a nation that's in conflict and in pain, and people are angry. And there's so many people that are focused on the problems that there's not a lot of people that are getting involved in solution. I mean, everybody's becoming experts in the problem. And everybody, you know, you complain at the water cooler or you post things on Facebook about how you feel about. But I'm looking for people that are getting involved in the solutions. Like, how can we help somebody heal? How can we help somebody transform? How can we help somebody come alive? And we're finding that, man, if it can happen in a maximum security prison, you know, with guys that were gang affiliated and so-called violent, dangerous men, well, then why couldn't it happen in your neighborhood or in, you know, corporate world or in, you know, this school that's having some problem, or even in the, you know, Middle East or, you know, in Egypt, which is right now upside down with turmoil. I mean, why not? Why not us? Why not now? And I believe it can happen, but we've got to get more and more people like you and people that are listening to this show to start believing in solutions, you know, and spreading hope. Hope is the new dope. Kemba, the new dope.
Hope is a new dissolve. Yeah, this, you know, this
don't
is perfect.
Don't make me stop rhyming right here on your show.
I'm even more inspired. I'm on fire. You ready for the negativity to retire? That was a little freestyle.
Oh, come on, man.
From my inner child, you know, and I got a big old smile. So, you know, I just want to elaborate on what you said about bringing the children and the kids from the hood to nature.
You like that?
People do not understand how valuable a tool that is of healing for this planet, for people in impoverished communities, for everybody, actually, because I believe it's everybody's birthright to breathe clean air. But I'm going to tell you something, kid. When I have brought people from the hood to nature, as soon as they get off the bus, without you having to do anything, say anything, you see their auras automatically change. There's something about not having breathe a good quality of air that when you breathe it, when you're in, you know, the beauty of nature, the way God intended it, you automatically begin to, something happens in your inside, from the inside out, that just changes. Like you're seeing a tree. And I tell you, that you really got my attention with that one. That is such a powerful, man, that's such a powerful thing. And I'm so glad that you guys got so many things happening. I'm so glad that love is really supporting you all in the way that you're getting that support. That's just so entirely significant. As far as the Trayvon Martin situation and you know, it's true. We have to be diligent with keeping our attention on the solution. Those of us that know, we can't see people say, well, you know, are you looking away? No, we're actually moving into helping the situation not have to keep being perpetuated, because we're moving into a space on the other side in which these situations, things happen first in the spirit, in the unseen realm. So when we start healing the heart of humanity from the inside out, that means that there's less occurrences for these situations to occur. That's just the bottom line. You can't get around it. If I heal internally, then a part of the entire universe healed. So along with all these projects and programs and stuff, I want the listening audience also to understand that it happens inside of you. It can't just be about, well, you just cried because this show has inspired you and the Power Peace Project, and I'm so happy what's going on with those poor people. No, 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 you can't stay. You've got to turn the focus back within yourself and say, how can I unincarcerate my own spirit? How can I free myself up? What do I have to do today to love myself, to nurture myself, so I can stop perpetuating the violence that's happening through my own mouth? You know, I tell people, you know, so I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were talking about really the violence of another situation. I was like, you know, let's do, if we want to do the Nelson Mandela thing, we want to do the Gandhi thing, we want to do the Martin Luther King thing, you know, they were talking about violence from a whole different level. They were talking about violence just being ill-mannered when you communicate with somebody. You know, let me tell you something. You want to help free people? You want to help to free this world? Accelerate your smiling at people each day. You know, a lot of people, some of this stuff might be, well, I'm not going, you know, too far-fetched for people. I'm not going into the prison system. I'm not going to do this. But you can increase your smiles each day. You can increase your, you know, there's little things you can do on a daily basis. You can nurture yourself, you know, soak yourself in a bath, you know, go get your feet massaged and feel good today. I want you to feel good. I want everybody to understand, like, the more you feel good about you, the more you start loving yourself and nurturing yourself, which is ultimately, that's what it's really about. We have to start nurturing ourselves. This is what I had to learn as somebody that the world considered an ex-convict and a former gang member, somebody with a bullet in his chest. I had to understand that I didn't have to keep shooting myself at, you know, creating a reality for myself to be shot in the chest. I could create a new reality. I could create a reality of gentleness. I could, instead of using a gun or a knife, I could use a feather and a tissue. You know, I could start being kind and gentle to myself. So just want to tell people out there, you know, this isn't we want to be as responsible in presenting this as possible to say, yes, all the support. Those that move, those that inspire, but also remember that the incarceration first starts between your two ears. That, you know, you got to make sure you free yourself. And as you free yourself through whatever, your spiritual practice, praying to Allah, praying to Jesus, you know, meditating with the Buddhas, whatever you do, whatever floats your boat, whatever makes it happen for you, then keep doing that. And then the goodness on this planet, the love on this planet will be accelerated. And you'll end up in a position where you'll be supporting the love cause and the agenda and the Trayvon Martin situations. You'll be changing the vibrational frequency that's in this atmosphere that brings about that nonsense in the first place. This is what we're talking about. When Kit's talking about all this work he's doing, with that you people in Asia, if he's doing something in Lakewood with brothers and sisters around peace, that's influencing the entire aura of the planet Earth. So just know, wherever you stand, if you stand in love, if you stand in goodness, if you stand in self-love, if you stand in nurturing yourself, you're actually nurturing the atmosphere, nurturing the whole universe. You want to say something, Kit?
There it is. That's good stuff. Love it.
Okay, and on that note, Brother Kit, they just decided to do the show. So we do have a show.
They're going to wrap.
Why don't you give us a 60-second take us out, brother?
Okay, I'm so, so grateful and honored to be here. Thank you, Temba Spirit, for your love. And you're a shining example, man. You are the role model, the antivirus, and people are watching. You've made an impact on me. And again, check us out, thepowerofpeace.org, and whatever you can do to start in your community and help a young person. I believe the absent father and the lack of strong role models, especially for our young men, but even, you know, the young women, we need people to mentor a young person and show them a better way. People become what they see. So be the change you wish to see in the world. Get involved somehow, some way. Support Temba Spirit. And Timbo, we got to go on the road together, brother. Hope is the new dope.
Oh, I'll call you after the show. Hope is the new dope. Hope is the new dope. Tati, love you, man. I'm going to call you right after the show. Peace.